Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Maulaya salli wa sallim daiman abada 'ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. My respected and honorable elders and brothers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has taught us a very powerful dua in the Quran that we make in every rakat of our namaz. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The first part of the dua we all know, O Allah, guide us on the straight path. The second part we know, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have favored. Who are the people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has favored? In Surah An-Nisa, Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Four groups, four types of people that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has favored. One, the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Second, the truthful servants of Allah. The Shuhada, the martyrs of Islam, and the Salihin. For our guidance, Allah Ta'ala sent our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after our Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had kept this very powerful group, which we term and we call the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With regards to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very clear that each and every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one who has attained complete salvation in the eyes of Allah ta'ala, and each and every sahabi has acquired and attained the pleasure of Allah, and each and every sahabi has attained Jannat. In the ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. The sabiqun al-awwalun, the very first who had accepted Islam, muhajirin, the ansar, whoever they may have been, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, those who followed them in doing good. In other words, those sahaba that had come at a latter period of time. Radiyallahu anhum, radiyallahu anhum, Allah has been pleased with them. And the other amazing feat about the Sahaba, waradu an, they were also pleased with Allah. Wa'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahtaha al-anharu khalidina fiha abada. And Allah has prepared for them Jannat. Whether a Sahabi lived his entire life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the beginning of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's nubuwwah to the end, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for example, Whether a Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he accepted and embraced Islam 40 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this world. He was another very amazing person. Whether it was a Sahabi that came in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from out of Medina, he embraced Islam, he stayed in the Mubarak company for a few seconds, few minutes, and then that person left, never to return, left this world in a state of Iman. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an, wa'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahta lanharu khalidina fi abada. Two stamps of Najat, emancipation, success, stamped by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Today, I would like to speak about a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The reason for speaking about Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be very obvious, and that is we find one group that has venerated, for example, the Ahl Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom we hold also very close to our hearts. However, we find an error in the lives of the Nasara of the Christians. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, those that followed the tafsir, he was a Nabi of Allah, he was a Rasul of Allah. He was a great personality. But once you elevate a person higher than Allah Ta'ala has ordained, then walad dhalin, that person is now in deviation. When a person overemphasizes his love for any one sahabi, that results in enmity for another sahabi, then that person is in deviation. The Jummah khutbah, in the second khutbah in most of our masajid, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is recited, and it is cited as a reminder to this very fact. Allah, Allah, just to make us understand, Allah, Allah is not a dua. Allah, Allah is actually the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ittaqillah, ittaqillah. Look at the emphasis. Fear Allah, fear Allah. Fi ashabi, regarding my sahaba. La tattakhiduhum gharadam min ba'di. Do not take them as targets of abuse, of insult after me. When I'm here, you are not going to do that. But when I leave this world, O ummat, you are going to begin to abuse my sahaba. Faman ahabbahum, فَبِحُبِّ أَحَبَّهُمْ, whoever loves them will be because of his love for me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ, and whoever despises them, فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ, he will despise them because he despises me. So our deen is a very well-balanced deen. We love Ahl Bayt, and we love each and every sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In more than two ayats of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has clarified, وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, every grouping of the Sahaba, Allah has promised al-husna, Allah has promised Jannah. Now when we look at this Sahabi, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, very, very quickly, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many of us would be aware that he was the son of Abu Sufyan and Hind. Now Abu Sufyan, he was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and more so it intensified after Badr, when Abu Jahl died in that battle. Abu Sufyan then became the leader of the Quraysh. So that intensified his enmity for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Hind also remained on his side. That is Sayyidina Muawiyah's mother. However, as much as enemies they were of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, both of them eventually embraced Islam in the 8th year of the Hijrah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the 8th year of the Hijrah, was on the occasion of Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so elated with the Islam of Abu Sufyan that he even said, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, such a person will be granted amnesty. In other words, he will be free. So Abu Sufyan and Hind, they bore this child, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was born 5 years before the nubuwat of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nonetheless, Abu Sufyan and Hind reared Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the best of any rearing any parent could give a child. In Makkah, there was jahalat, there was ignorance, illiteracy. And in that environment of illiteracy, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was taught to read and write, and he was given many skills. And amongst those skills, one skill that he was given was that of leadership. Once his father said that my Muawiyah will become the leader of his community, of his people, the mother asked the question only of his people, my Muawiyah will become the leader of all the Arabs. At this point, brothers and friends, always have high hopes on our children. No matter what they may be, we will make the effort, we will seek from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but never shut down our hearts with good hopes for them. We are probably the hopes of our parents. And probably opening our hearts for them may open a very good path for them in the future. Be that as it may, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had embraced Islam somewhere between the 6th and the 7th year of the Hijrah before his parents. But however, for some expedience, he did not make his Islam known. And one other amazing factor was that despite the fact that he was eligible, there is never a narration that indicates that Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, prior to his Islam, participated in any battle against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the side of the Quraysh. In other words, he did not support any kind of opposition against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, despite the fact, between the 6th and the 7th year of the Hijrah, he embraced Islam, he kept it a secret. On the 8th year of the Hijrah, on the day of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, when Abu Sufyan and his family embraced Islam, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had made his Islam known to one and all. It was thereafter, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu accompanied our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A little bit of Islamic history. After the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had heard of an attack on Makkah. So the Banu Thaqif, the Hawazin, the people of Taif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued his campaign. Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu also accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he returned with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Medina Munawwara. When he had come to Medina Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a scribe of the wahi, what we will term as Katibul Wahi, one that writes the wahi. We know in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were no Qur'ans like we have in the text form, in the book form that we have today. When wahi would come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would call one of the scribes. The most senior amongst them was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after Sayyiduna Muawiyah came to Medina Munawwara, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was second to Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This shows us two important aspects. To write wahi in the absence of a book of the text form of the Quran, number one, shows the kind of confidence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had vested in Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhum for him to write the wahi that would come down from Allah ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam trusted him. The second is, to be the scribe of the wahi, he would have to remain many long hours with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, he enjoyed a long period of companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another very important factor was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from after Fateh Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to write letters to the very many rulers and kings of the different parts of the world. And Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those that were entrusted with the duty and responsibility of writing. Some ulama have said out of 160 letters, 133 were written by Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that again shows the vested trust that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have had in Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes dua for Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On one occasion, there are many duas. Time does not afford us the opportunity to go through all of this, but just to skim through some of them. One dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made for him: Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyam mahdiya wahdi bihi. O Allah, make him a hadi, make him a guide. A guide, in other words, that he will be able to guide others. Mahdiya, make him rightly guided. In other words, he himself in his own life, he will lead a righteous life. Wahdi bihi, and O Allah, through him, let others be guided. Now this is an absolutely powerful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes for Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On another occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes dua: Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. O Allah, teach him the kitab, referring to the Quran Sharif. Wa makkin lahu fil bilad. And O Allah, establish for him rule in the land. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for the leadership of and the governance of Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Waqihi al-azab, and save him from the punishment, punishment of this world, punishment of the hereafter. Once again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes this dua. Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself narrates that on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was making his wudu, and I assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the performance of the wudu. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had concluded the wudu, he looked at me and he said to me, O Muawiyah, probably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you governance, Allah ta'ala will grant you leadership. When the leadership comes to you, Muawiyah, at that time, fear Allah, be just. Those that do good, acknowledge the good. And those that do not do good, turn a blind eye to whatever they have done. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in actual fact, gives the glad tidings of the leadership to Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to the extent that he himself says that from that day on, I had realized that I am going to be tested with the leadership. On one occasion, Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I was on the ride with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the animal. I was behind, he was in front. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, O Muawiyah, which part of your body touches my body? I said, Ya Rasulullah, the chest the stomach. Then he made dua, O Allah, fill it with knowledge. So such was the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made for Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Going a little further, we find that even the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a very high regard for Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just to look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would often make a statement to the sahaba, warning them that after I leave this world, do not disintegrate into small groups. In other words, do not disunite yourself. But should you do so, remember in Damascus, in Sham, you will find Muawiyah. In other words, there will always be a backup for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed the people that you people are fascinated with the political assiduity and techniques of the emperors of Rome and Persia. You people find it, you people are impressed, but you people forget about the finesse in the political arena of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In other words, when you look at his political finesse, you will find that Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is par excellence. Why look beyond Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? And much has been said by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We go to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself, now we know that there was some differences between Sayyidina Muawiyah and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But understand that these were men amongst men. They kept their differences confined to differences, and it was not personalities that had come between them. And once Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu addressed the people that never ever be averse to the leadership of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In other words, do not oppose the leadership of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Should you do that, and should the leadership of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu fall, then you will find the necks of people falling from their bodies, like how you find fruit falling from the trees. In other words, this Muslim ummah will be destroyed. Now such was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu's decision, his view with regards to Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We look at a great sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now we know that this sahabi, his own contemporaries held the view that he was Hibrul Ummah. He was the sage of the age. He was that person who was known as Bahrul Ulum, the deep ocean of knowledge. He was Sayyidul Mufassirin. He was the leader of all the commentators. But when he spoke about Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, Laysa ahadun a'lama minna min Muawiyata, that amongst us there is no one more learned than Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Brothers, understand, these are sahaba. They did not inflate a praise for anyone more than the person was worthy of. They did not praise a person and inflate that person and lift the person more than that person was worthy of. Nor did they criticize or condemn anyone more than that person was worthy of. They did not paint black blacker than black, and they did not inflate a person more than that person was worthy of. When they spoke about a person, then that was the absolute truth that they would speak about. Now it was a fair statement, because we found many of the greatest sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, had it all left the world by then. So at his time, and then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes on to say that I cannot find anyone who befits the governance more than Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As a matter of fact, when we look at Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the likes of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, addressing Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu quite directly, he would say that I had never seen, and of course he was a Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will have observed many of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I had never observed anyone who performed salah that resembled the salah more closely than the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam than you, O Muawiyah. Can we understand what a personality this may have been? So such were the words of those contemporaries of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One important aspect would be the people even after Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like for example, Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu was asked about Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what is your opinion about him? And this probably is a very, very important issue. His simple response was, how can I comment about that person that stood behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in salat? And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, this person had the opportunity of saying, Rabbana lakal hamd. How can I comment about such a person whom when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam read Surah Al-Fatiha and he said, Waladdallin, then this person had the opportunity to say Ameen. And of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for him. And he would have said Ameen to the du'as in his favor in itself. How can I ever comment with regards to that? And of course, the very famous saying of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, when he was asked, is Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu more superior, O Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? And his response, and this should be written in gold, that the time when Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had emerged and gone in the path of Allah ta'ala side by side with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the dust that entered the nostril of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, leave the condition of his heart, leave the condition of his mind or any other limb of Sayyidina Muawiyah, the dust that entered his nostril is far more superior than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So it is this Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu about whom those who were his contemporaries, those who were after him, who understood and realized that this was a great personality. Now when we look at the life of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, round about the 19th year after the Hijrah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had appointed Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the governance of Sham. In other words, the Levant. Damascus was the capital of it. It was very strategic, it was very important because bordering it was the Byzantine or the Roman Empire, and now there was always the fear of an attack, and it required a person of political experience, political astuity, a person of strength, a person of understanding. And Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu fitted that profile and he was placed there. Every biographer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would tell us that when he appointed a person, he was prudent. He was absolutely careful who he had chosen. And after he had chosen, he would monitor and evaluate. And if he found any difference, he would then impeach that person. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was never impeached by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that itself speaks volumes. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu served for the balance of the life of Sayyidina Umar, 12 years of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In about 27th after Hijrah, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had asked Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu for permission to begin the naval force of the Islamic Empire. And he requested Sayyidina Umar before that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because of some strategic reason, did not allow it to happen. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had given it, and the first naval force came into being under the auspices of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now this is not just an historical feat, but this in actual fact was a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, where Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first naval expedition of my ummah that leaves, faqad awjaba, that group of people would have had Jannah obligated for them. In other words, those people are going to get Jannah. So such was Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's contribution to Islam. And then throughout his entire life, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued strategizing and expanding the Islamic boundaries. Expanding the Islamic boundaries was not for any other gain. It was not for political gain. It was not for military gain. It was not for financial gain, for power. But it was so that the word of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will spread, and more individuals then will begin to worship Allah ta'ala on the surface of this earth. We come to the last part of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu's life, that when he realized he's going to leave this world, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands and he gives the last khutbah of his life. A very brief khutbah, I'll just give you the translation very quickly. He said, every crop has its time for harvest. The crop is ripe, it has to be cut. And of course, referring to himself now, my time has come. Those who now become leaders after me are not going to be any better than I am. And again, that's a fair statement. He's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can be better than a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point lies in the sentence that comes after. Those before me were far more superior to me. Referring to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, and Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. He makes that very, very clear. And then he makes his wasiyat, he bequeaths, and his bequest was one amazing bequest. He says that there was one occasion that I was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was getting ready to make wudu. I went and I fetched water for the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I assisted him in the performance of wudu. And then after that wudu, he had two cloths on his Mubarak body. He removed one cloth and he gave me. I took that one cloth and I preserved it. So now when I leave this world, I would like to be enshrouded in that one piece of cloth together with the others. Then on another occasion, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was clipping his Mubarak nails and he was cutting his Mubarak hair, I took those nails and that hair and I preserved it. And now my wasiyat will be that those nails and hair should be placed on my eyes, and all the places that touch the ground when I make sajda, my forehead, my hands, my knees, and of course the part of my feet. And then thereafter, hand me over to Arhamur Rahimeen, that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Brother, such was the life of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan rahmatullah alayhi, when he comes to the qabr of Sayyidina Muawiyah with one person who didn't know it was the qabr of Sayyidina Muawiyah, he asked, whose grave is this? He said, this is the grave of that person that when he spoke, only knowledge spoke. And when he remained silent, it was only forbearance that caused the silence. When he gave to that extent that the person whom he gave to had become rich and independent. And whoever he fought, he destroyed. Such a great warrior of Allah Ta'ala he was. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the ability to understand our deen. And may Allah Ta'ala place in our hearts the love for each and every sahabi of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa alihi wa sahabi ajma'in wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.